If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open up to 1 Peter chapter 1. That'll be the scripture, the main scripture we'll be looking at this morning. This week we are actually finishing up, concluding our series that we've been walking through over the last 5 weeks. This is the sixth one that's been titled, Warning, Do Try This at Home. And as I've said each and every week, you know, we've all seen those warnings. Don't, right? Don't try this at home, whether it's, you know, the videos that we watch or whatever. They're like, don't try this at home unless you're a trained professional, you know. Do not try this at home. But this series is completely opposite of that. These are things that we should be trying at home. Things that many of us do here at church on Sundays. That we do it when we come here, but when we walk out those doors, we don't do them again until we come back the following week. Things that I really believe are important in our walk, in our relationship with the Lord, and in us growing and being who God's called us to be, and our ability to really follow Him. We started off 5 weeks ago with the first thing, which was we talked about prayer. We talked about just the importance of being devoted to prayer, how important it was to be communicating and continually speaking and talking with the Lord. That it should be an everyday part of our life. As a matter of fact, that Paul said, you know, pray without ceasing. It's something we should be doing all the time, and whatever we're doing, always seeking the Lord and seeking Him. Then 4 weeks ago, we talked about reading the Bible. The importance of us taking time to really open up His Word and to read His Word and allow His Word to penetrate our heart. And I mentioned it shouldn't be, you know, just the prayer journals that we have where we just read to check off a box. Oh, look, I did my reading for the day. It's not that, because that doesn't do anything. When we just read to check off a box, it's not penetrating our hearts. We should be reading His Word to allow it to get into our hearts, to get into our lives. And then we talked about worship. And really the fact that anything that brings glory to the Lord is worship. Worship isn't just what we did up here this morning. That's not the only type of worship. Our lives are worship to the Lord. And the fact that we are called to glorify God in all that we do, right? Which means we should be worshiping Him in everything that we do. And then I put that little twist at the end, and delight in doing it. That we should delight in doing it. And then we talked after that about, it was 2 weeks ago that we talked about giving. And the fact that we should give generously, right? Give generously and cheerfully, right? You know, a lot of times that's not how we respond when we give. It's like, okay, fine, God, I'm going to give to You. And we weren't just referring to money. It's not just about money. When we talk about giving, it's far more than the financial aspect. It's giving our lives to the Lord. It's serving Him. It's that heart of giving in everything that we do. And then last week, we talked about the fact that we should be operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the fact that it's a gift that God has given us to empower us, to strengthen us, to do and to be what He's called us to do and be. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We use that scripture a lot, but we won't be able to do anything if it's not through the power of the Holy Spirit, because on our own we're weak. But through Him we are strong, and we need to be operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this week we're concluding our series with the sixth thing that we should be doing at home. Here's what we need to be doing at home. We need to be living holy. Living holy. You see, this is one of those things that we're real good at doing at church, right? As a matter of fact, I found out... I'm going to put you on the spot here, but I found out Mike and his wife like to do skits and stuff, but I just found out like a week ago, Mike, our drummer, or a little over a week ago, and I was like, oh man, oh, I wish we just didn't have time to put it together because with things going on, but I thought, oh man, I would have loved to have a skit for this morning, and I would love to have this skit, you know, where you've got a family driving to church, and all the things happening in the vehicle on the way to the church, right? Yelling at each other, mad, wait, stop that, right? You know? And what happens as soon as they drive into church? Wait, shh, shh, look, people, hey, you know, right, with the kids. And then you get out and you know, your linked arms or holding hands and, oh, hi, how's it going? Oh, yeah, my wife, I love her so much. And, you know, you're just yelling at her, just, you know, whatever. And all of a sudden, we're real good at living holy at church, right? We're real good at putting on that front that, oh, everything's good, everything's perfect, right? Look at our happy little family. It's like this all the time. I promise you, right? Wrong. We're real good at doing it at church, but as soon as we walk out those doors, as soon as we get away from everyone else, things change, right? Things are different. I used to be really good at this. I mean, I'm still not perfect, okay? But I used to be really good at this aspect of putting on this front and really looking good, especially back in high school. You know, I had this appearance on Sundays. Everyone thought I was the perfect little teenager. You know, everyone wanted their daughters to marry Darren because, oh my goodness, look at how good he is. And I had this perfect, you know, ability on Sundays to look like this great little kid, right? But the reality is that I only lived that way on Sundays. It was something that was only a part of my life on Sundays. And one of the first raps, and some of you know that I used to rap back in the day, back in high school and college and throughout the military times, years ago. All right, I've been 20 years about almost since I got out of the military, and haven't done it really since then, maybe a few times in my youth group, but used to rap. And one of the first raps that I ever wrote that I actually performed in front of a group talked about this lifestyle, because I realized I did this as I was just graduating, coming into college, and I was part of the college age group at church there before I left for the military. And I realized, man, I've been really good at faking it. I've been really good at putting on this front. And this rap began to stir up inside of me, and I titled it, this rap was titled Weekend Warrior. And many no, I don't have beats, I don't have anything. No. What's that? No. I forgot most of the song. So, but it was titled Weekend Warrior. And some of you know that correlation. The reserves a lot of times used to be called Weekend Warriors, right? That they on the weekend would put on the military, you know, outfit, but throughout the week they were in their suits and their regular work. And I wrote this song titled Weekend Warrior, and I'm just going to read to you the first verse of this song. All right, I'm not going to rap it for you, but I'm going to read to you the first verse of this song, because this was my life. This is really a representation of what my life was. But it says the weekend's here and Sunday's the day. You find it easy to worship and pray. You put on a show and you do it so well, not even your pastor can tell. You raise your hands, you pray out loud. You're standing tall, you seem so proud. Everyone thinks you've got it together, but deep down inside, it's only you that knows better. Your life is fiction, like Tom Sawyer. You're playing the role of a weekend warrior. So often, the life we portray at church is different than the life we actually live. And that's not God's desire for our life. God's desire is that we would be living holy all the time. That this facade that we put on at church, that would be the life we're really living. It wouldn't just be something we live at church. But it'd be the life that we're living for Him that He's called us to live. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me as we're going to take a look at our Scripture and dive into this aspect of God's call for us to live holy, not just at church, but in everything we do, at home, wherever we're at. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along in 1 Peter 1, verses 14 through 16. It says this, I guess if I flip to it. It says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. We are called to live holy. But what does that really mean? What is it? What am I saying? Because we use that word, we see that word of the Holy Bible, we see those things. What does it mean to live holy? What does it mean to be holy? Well, if you look at the word holy here, it comes from the word hagios. And the root meaning of the word hagios means different or set apart. Now, let's think about that definition in regards to things that have been referred to as holy, right? We refer to God as holy, right? And the fact is, God, He's different from anything else, right? He's the only perfect being in the world. He's perfect. He's set apart from all other things. He's different than you and I. He always was and always will be. He never had a beginning, no end. We've got a beginning, right? We've all had a beginning and we'll have an end on this earth. He's different. He's set apart. When you look in the Old Testament, the temple was considered holy, right? It was different from or set apart from other buildings or places. It was a special, a different place for people to come and to experience the Lord. It was set apart from all other places. The Sabbath was holy, or you were supposed to keep it holy, right? It was different or set apart from other days. The Sabbath wasn't like other days. It was set apart. And see, as Christians, we're called to be holy. We're called to be different, to be set apart from others, to live our lives differently than the rest of the world or than those that are of the world. And this shouldn't just be something we do on Sundays. It's not, okay, well, I live differently on Sunday. That's not God's desire for our life. His desire is that we should live holy all the time, 24/7. When we look at these scriptures in 1 Peter, it kind of gives us a model of how this should work, of how we become holy. Verse 15 says, but just as he who called you is holy, he who called you, you see, it starts to live a holy life. It starts by realizing that he has called you. God has called each and every one of you. He's called you to step out of a life of sin and into a life of holiness. He's called you to step out of a life that lives for the world into a life that lives for him. It's God's invitation. His invitation for us to follow him, to live his life. And so the first step in living a life of holiness is saying yes to Jesus, to his call upon our life, to understand that he's called us and to accept that call, to accept that invitation, and to begin to walk and live our lives for him. And then the second step we see here is the fact that we need to start to see things differently. As we've been called and as we step into this life of Christ, we need to see things differently. Verse 15 or 14 says, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. When you lived in ignorance. As Christians, we should no longer live in ignorance. Because as we give our life to Jesus and as we begin to seek him, he begins to reveal his life to us. Now this is why reading the Bible is so important. When you go back to these other things I've talked about, prayer and reading the Bible and worship, that's why these things are so important. Because these things help keep us from being ignorant. As we seek him, as we learn about him, as we understand who he is, as we understand His desire for our life, it allows us to see things from a different, from a holy, a set-apart perspective. From God's perspective. And as we begin to see things differently and begin to understand who God is and His calling on our life, we begin to live out the next step, the most important step. And that's walking in obedience. Verse 14 says, as obedient children, do not conform. God's desire, as we begin to see things differently, that we begin now to walk in that obedience. And when we walk in obedience and live out this new life God has for us, it's then that we begin to live differently. It's then that we begin to live holy, set apart from the world, different from everyone else in this world. This is God's desire for our lives. But listen to this, and be careful in this. Living holy doesn't mean living holier than thou. Okay? Because Christians do this a lot. That's why many people don't want to be around Christians. Because we live that holier than thou attitude. Well, I'm holy, right? I don't do those things. I'm a Christian. I'm holy. I don't do that. This is the kind of attitude and response that we saw from who in the Bible? We saw from the Pharisees and from the religious leaders. And it's the kind of response that drives people away from the Christian life. And that's not what God is desiring from us. When He tells us to live holy, He wants us to do exactly the opposite of that. He doesn't want us to be Pharisees and the religious leaders. Do you see the way He ripped on them throughout the Scripture? He doesn't want us to live our lives like those religious leaders. No, instead, who does He want us to live as our lives like? Verse 16 says, be holy because I am holy. And I believe what God is saying here is, if you want to know how to live holy, you need to live the way I lived. Walk in the holiness that I walked in. Not in a way that puts others down, that drives others away. But in a way that shows love and draws people closer to the Lord. As I was praying and really diving into these scriptures and really thinking, because the Lord gave me the idea as I prayed about this series, and the Lord gave me these six things. In the end, I even wasn't sure what to call it, but I knew it was just kind of that living as a Christian and living it, you know, and the Lord gave me this word, living holy. And so as I began to really pray and putting the message to the Lord, what is it that it really means to live holy? I know it's to set ourselves apart, but what is it that you really want to speak? And in the midst of this time of praying, the Lord kept taking me back to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, a scripture that many of you are probably familiar with. You may not just know it by the address, right? That's what we used to call it. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 is the address. But you'll recognize it as I read it. Here's what Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are these the way we live? Are these the things that we're living out? Because this is the holy life. I know myself a lot of times, impatience, right? Badness, lack of control. I mean, a lot of times that's who I am. But really, when you think about the holy life, this is a perfect picture of what God desires for us to live, not just when we're at church. hey, good to see you. I put on the joy. Look, I'm going to love you. I'm going to be patient with you while I'm at church. But man, wait till I tell my wife the things that I'm thinking about you in this moment when we get home, right? This is really a beautiful picture of what it means to live holy. This is the different life that God wants us to be living. One that's filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. This is the kind of difference that doesn't push people away. When you walk in and you show these kind of things, do you think it repels people? No, people are drawn to these kind of things. It's the kind of different thing that attracts people. It's the kind of different that leads people to Jesus and extends His kingdom, which is why we're here, which is what God's called us to do. It's our mission statement to love God, to love people, to extend His kingdom. This is why we should be doing this, not just at church, but everywhere, at home, in our workplace, in our neighborhoods, wherever we're at, we should be living this life. But here's the thing. We can't fake these things. I mean, we can get by with it for a while. We can do it for a while. But sooner or later, the real you is going to come out. When life gets difficult and when the pressures of the world begin to press in on us, what happens when you begin to press something? When you push into something, what's inside begins to come out, right? And we can fake it for a little while, but as the pressures of the world and the things around us begin to press in on us, the real you is what comes out. And what's in you? Is it the fruit of the Spirit or is it the things of the world? That's the question. What is the real you? Because I think some of us, we faked it so long, we don't even know who the real us is. What is the real you? Is it someone who is striving to live holy? Someone who is doing their best to walk in obedience and live the life that God's called you to live? Because it doesn't mean that you're being perfect, but you're striving to do your best to live holy and live the way that God's called you to live. It doesn't mean you're not going to mess up. It doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. But it does mean this, is that you're not putting on this front. You're being authentic and real and being honest, right? We talk about authenticity in this church. Because here's the thing, we don't want the fronts. We want to see the real you, because as you are exposing and showing the real you of who you are, it's then that God can begin to work on those areas in your life. But when you come and you put on this facade that everything's good, then God can't work in you in that way. What is the real you? Are you doing your best to walk in obedience in the way that God's called you to live? Or is the real you someone that just puts on the appearance of living holy? But when you get to the core, you realize we're not even close. You see, to be someone who truly lives holy, we need to be doing it, or at least trying to do it everywhere. Walking it out to the best of our ability. If you're not doing it at home, you're not going to be able to do it other places for an extended period of time. You know, I see the facades at times as I've been a pastor for years, and you see, it's really easy. You just go talk to the wife. You just go talk to the husband, right? You talk to the kids. So tell me about your parents. You know, you hear stories. And, oh, you should see my parents last week, man. They were going at it. I thought they were going to start throwing fists at each other. Well, you probably shouldn't tell me those things. They probably don't want you to share those at youth group, right? You know? We see the real things. But if we want to be someone who truly lives holy, we need to be practicing it all the time, working on it, doing our best to live it out wherever we're at, whether there are people there watching us or not. I have a brother-in-law named Kirk. It's Stacy's one of her older brothers. He lives in Florida, and he works for Carnival Cruise Lines. He works in the corporate office. He started, I don't know, probably about 25, 30 years ago, he started on a cruise ship as a purser, and he's just worked his way up, and now he's in corporate at Carnival Cruise Lines in Florida. Great man. Great man of integrity in all that he's done. He's worked his way up to the top through just because of his integrity, because of the holy life that he's lived. He this year, I think it's his second or third year, he participated in something called the Polar Bear Plunge. Some of you may have heard of this, but it's to raise money. They do this to raise money for the Special Olympics. And the Polar Bear Plunge is basically you go and you plunge in the icy waters in the winter in Baltimore. Okay. Now, some people do just the simple plunge. You know, they'll go out one time. As a matter of fact, he got Carnival to do this as a corporate office. And so his whole team, you know, that there's like eight of them from the Carnival Cruise, they all went out for one time together to plunge into the water. And this is 16 degrees outside and about 37 degrees water, okay? Freezing cold waters in the middle of the winter. Craziness, but it's for a good cause. It's to raise money for Special Olympics. And so he this year got got Carnival to kind of support it, and they took this big team from Carnival. They did the one plunge as a team. But see, he doesn't just plunge once. Some people plunge, you know, once, five times, whatever. He's what's called a super plunger. He plunges every hour for 24 hours. His goal this year was to raise over $10,000, and he did that. He raised about $10,300 for Special Olympics. And when he was all done, he put out a video on YouTube for all of his sponsors to watch. And it was about a 10-minute video, and it kind of shared it. It walked going through, you know, at the beginning, you see, like with his corporate team, them going to do the plunge as a corporate team. But you would see him going and doing his individual plunges. And throughout the midst of it, he has this moment where it's about 2 a.m. and it's quiet. Most people are sleeping. And I think just on his phone, he's recording. He had shown a pan of the room of everybody sleeping, and he kind of commented. He said, you know, we'll see who gets up this next hour. Because some people, you know, halfway through, they kind of give up. Halfway through, they don't keep pushing through. And there's this moment. I'm going to show this video here in just a second, and I warn you, it's not the greatest. You kind of have the sea behind making noise, and then there's some fans and stuff in the tent that are providing heat for these people that are waiting there to go for the next plunge. But he's just by himself. He turned his phone around, and he's sharing. And I hope you can hear. I'll touch on it a little bit. But he's in that moment. It's about 2 a.m. And it's that moment where it's getting really hard to make those plunges and really difficult. And I want you just to listen real close to what he says here on this video.
Let's get ready. It is. Again, it's almost 2 o'clock. And everyone's tired. We call this dark side of the moon. It's a time when you kind of have to buckle up and get the job done because nobody's out cheering you on. There's no press. There's no media. There's no friends, and it's dark, and it's cold, and we're tired. Doesn't that sound fun? All right, but I'll tell you, all those people, all of you that donated, doing it for you, and appreciate the support. So I'm going to keep on calling you. That's right. No stopping now. See you on the other side.
I don't know if you caught a few of the things that he said that are extremely impactful. As a matter of fact, my wife sent this to me, and every time I watch it with my wife, we both just bawl as we hear his heart. Because one of the things is here's a guy that he lives holy. He's a guy that it's not just, he doesn't just say it, he walks it out and he lives it out. And he referred to it as the dark side of the moon. That's what these super plungers refer to it. And he said something very important. He said this. He said, it's a time when you just got to buck up because nobody's out cheering you on. There's no press. There's no media. There's no friends. And it's dark and cold and we're tired. Think about that. you see at the beginning, there's all these people going and they've got the video cameras and Baltimore, you know, news is out there and the press is going, and you actually have a bunch of the Special Olympics kids are out there going with them, and it's this big thing, and it's hard. As a matter of fact, the carnival crew that went with him, there was about eight of them, they go out and you have to go out. And there's like a post out there that you just have to go out, which really for most people is just about waist high. You just go out into this water, and people you can see, they're all cool, and they go out and hit the post and come back. Well, some of the, there were two carnival ladies that they went in, and they got to their ankles, and they were like, oh! They turned around and walked back out. They didn't go all the way in. And so you see the press, and everyone's there, and these people, it's like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to go in and do this because everybody's watching, and it's this whole thing. But what happens when nobody's watching? And here's the thing, when I watch this video, he didn't even mention this. He didn't say this about himself. But when I watched the video, my brother-in-law was the only one that every time when people would go out, he didn't just hit the post. He went out, when you could see him, he'd be like this, and he plunged in the water. Every single time. Got up, freezing, you know, and they had to walk. They had to go. It was farther from, probably from the back of here to here. So it was probably about 70, 80 feet. Then they had to go in the cold, freezing, back to the warm huts to get warm again. But to hear him say, no press, no media, no friends. It's dark and cold and we're tired. But I'm going to continue to do it. And to see that he continued to do it. He'd have to find people on the side. You know, earlier he had all his friends there that would film him when he went. And the one time, it's kind of funny because this one lady, you can see him walking away. He's like, you got it? And she's like, yeah. And she's talking to someone. She's like, I got to follow the guy in the blue shorts. I got to follow. So he didn't even know this lady. And she's just trying to follow him. I got to follow. And so that he didn't have any support, no one that he knew to film for him. But he's going out there and he's doing it. How do we live when no one else is looking? When no one's there to cheer you on? When no one's there to challenge you and encourage you to do the right things? How are we living in those moments? Because see, I shared the story of the weekend warrior. Many of you have heard my testimony and how when I went in the Marine Corps and as I was over in the Philippines, how I fell hard in my relationship with the Lord. And you know why I fell? Because mom and dad, my pastors, my Christian friends, they weren't around. And it's not their fault. It's the fact that everything I was very superficial. It was very fake. It wasn't real. And when I'm thousands of miles away from those people, then is when I fell. I didn't do it at home because I was such a people pleaser. I wanted to please my parents. I didn't want anyone, you know, to think badly of me. But deep down inside, was I really serving God in the way that I should? Youth would ask me all the time, well, what can I do and still go to heaven? You know, they want this line to cross. And are we about doing what can we do? How much can we get away from with and still go to heaven? Or are we about living holy and being who God's called us to be, walking in His obedience, regardless of whether people are looking or people aren't looking? I guess the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we living holy for Jesus, or are we living holy for people? Because the fact is, Jesus is always there, whether we realize it or not. And He should be who we're living for. He should be the reason we're pushing through. He should be the reason we're on that dark side of the moon, that we're still faithful to do what God's called us to do. Be holy because I am holy. That's what God asks of us. And I fail at this every day. And I'm sure many of us do. And I'm not sharing this message to condemn you this morning. Oh, look at you who don't live holy. We all mess up. But are we striving to do our very best? Are we seeking? Is our heart in it to please God or to please people? Because that's really what it comes down to. That's really what it becomes about. be holy because I am holy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and Lord, this is one of those messages that ripped me apart this week. Because, Lord, I'm really good at putting on that facade and that front at times. And I don't want to, but I do. Especially as a pastor, I need to look good. I need to make sure that people think I'm a good pastor. But I shouldn't be doing it because I'm worried about what people think. I should be doing it because it's what you called me to do, Lord. To live my life for you. To be obedient to you. To walk in obedience. And to grow and become the man of God that you've called me to be, Lord. Lord, that's my prayer for each of us in this room. You want us to live the holy life, not just here at church, not just in front of people, but everywhere, wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, to live holy, to live lives that are different, lives that are set apart from the rest of the world. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace and the fact that even when we mess up, you don't give up on us. Lord, our whole life is about you continually molding and shaping us and helping us to become who you've called us to be, to learn how to walk in that holiness, to learn how to set ourselves apart. And we're going to fail. We're going to make mistakes. But Lord, you encourage us to get back up and to begin to keep moving forward, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be people who don't seek to please men, who don't seek to please people, like the Pharisees and the religious leaders, Lord. Like myself in high school, wanting to please my parents. But that we be people who seek to please you in all that we do, Lord. Lord, you've called us. And as we say yes to you, you've called us to walk into a new life in you. And as we continue to seek you, you are continuing to mold us and shape us into who you've called us to be, Lord Jesus. And we thank you and praise you for that, Lord. Help us to learn to live holy because you are holy. To love you and to walk in the ways of you. Not because we're afraid of hell, but because we want to experience you. We want to love you and glorify you. Lord, we thank you for this time this morning as we finish this morning with worship, with one last song, Lord. May we be reminded that in you we are new, Lord Jesus. That in you we have a new life that allows us to live differently, that allows us to live set apart from the rest of this world, not to look down on them, but to walk in your love and in your grace and your mercy that draws more and more people into this new life. We thank you and praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.